All right. Hello and welcome back to another episode of For Mom Friends. We thank you guys for joining us and following us on Instagram. If you are not following our podcast just yet, I really highly recommend you do because we have amazing episodes coming your way. And back with me are my four mom friends, Alex, Liz, and Megan. And we are here today to talk about careers and mommyhood, which we are all across the spectrum in our little mommy group here. So we've got a lot to talk about. So let's get started.
I went back. I took about a half year off of maternity leave. I went back and I was working full time at my school. But then since I work in a school, I get summers off. So I had about 6 weeks off. And then this school year, I went back part time. So I work 3 days a week. I work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I'm home for 4 days in a row. And I was just saying how I'm a school counselor at an elementary school now.
Yay!
Yeah, I've been at high school, middle school, and now I'm with the little babies. They don't talk back yet.
Maybe.
No, they're much cuter. No, they're much cuter. They are.
Good.
Yeah. I kind of miss the attitude. I loved the middle school.
You can babysit my daughter.
Okay. She's got enough attitude for them all.
Yeah. She does. Millie is straight dude.
Mm-hmm. Since day one. Like,
but she can pull it off because she's so cute.
I know.
She's pretty, yeah.
She instantly judges you. I mean, when she came out of my vagina, she was already staring at me like, what the f*** are you? You're my mom?
Mm-hmm. So You're my mom. I am full-time working mom, working a family business with my parents. So it is all the time. If I'm lucky, it's all the time. Yeah, it's essentially 8:30 to 5. And when I'm with my parents, we talk about work too. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. And would you consider Fit for Moms Torrance like a hobby or side like a side hustle?
Yeah, it's a hobby. I mean, yeah, I make a little bit of money off of it, but it's not a whole lot. It's just like cool. I can buy like 2 pieces of clothing, maybe a month. Not what I do, but no, it's fun. It's my opportunity to get a workout on the weekends and work out during the week. So it's a side hustle, but it's really just my way of getting a workout in. So yeah.
Yeah. Megan, you are in transition.
Yes. So I've mostly, as a mom, been a full-time employee in my professional career as a fundraiser. I did the part-time thing after we lost the baby, mostly due to like grief and like depression. And I found that to be a whole different set of struggles that we'll talk about, I guess, in a minute. Right now, I'm starting my own business. So I'm home with Elliot, my baby. She's home with me full-time. Penelope's in school 3 days a week. So I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom and an entrepreneur at the moment. Jean?
I'm trying to think what I am. I work... I don't know. Would you call it part-time, but it's like 32 hours a week. So I don't work Fridays, which is amazing.
I mean, you're pretty much full-time. You're just not
one. It's pretty much full, yeah.
And then I did, however, come back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home parent for a good almost 2 years, which I cried a lot. I drank a lot.
And that was when you had your wine business.
And that's when I had my wine business. I had a side hustle selling wine and doing wine tastings in people's home, which really I just had wine tastings in my friend's home or in my own home and drink wine.
But can we also talk about when you're home in the middle of the day, even though you're supposed to be watching your child, how you're like, yeah, I could go for a beer or a glass of wine. And you're like, oh wait, like this is not just like a casual
socially
weekend.
Appropriate.
And the first year I was a stay-at-home parent, I was still breastfeeding. So, I shouldn't have. I probably didn't, but I shouldn't have. I pumped and dumped. It was fine. It was fine. Both my kids are
fine. Actually a misnomer for anyone listening. You can drink quite a bit of alcohol and still be safe to breastfeed.
Yes. Nurse, you're good. Thank you.
Go. Anyways.
Sorry, Gina.
We are the spectrum of moms and working and non-working and part-time working. And I think we all pretty much have a good, like, I can't think, you guys. There's a good roundness.
A good balance. I think there's a good balance. So I guess I had put something on our Instagram that we were recording about this. Actually, a while ago, we said, you know, guys, we're going to do these two episodes are on our radar. One was like working motherhood and the other was like children and religion. And we were kind of like, we're going to do both, but which one do you want to hear next? And like resounding, the response was like motherhood and careers. But what I wanted to kind of point out was we have, I mean, obviously things are changing nowadays and so many women who choose to stay home or are staying home also have side hustles, whether it's Beachbody or Fit Mom or like there's a bazillion, you know, Rodan and Fields, there's a million side hustles happening right now. So the working mom concept is sort of like constantly changing. It's not just the woman who works 9 to 5. It's sort of all over the board. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I think we have a good mix of people who follow us, of people, moms who do a little bit of both. And I had put something on our Instagram just to say, like, what are your sort of like frustrations or vents? And I have a bunch of my own, but my sister actually commented and said something like, my frustration is like the idea that I'm supposed to do it all. Mm-hmm. And I might just be happy with the life that I'm living, but I'm supposed to look like to the outside world that I am doing so much more, or I have so much more, or I have it all figured out. I'm supposed to look like that, even if like I'm really okay with the way I live my life. Like, and I'm not speaking for her on this term, but I definitely feel that way. Like, I might be really fine with the fact that it's 9 p.m. Both my kids can't seem to get it to sleep, right? But like, I'm supposed to say and be like, oh, my kids have a routine and we do dinner at 5 and this is, you know, lights off at 6 and blah, 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 and tubbies and blah, blah, and have it all put together. But I'm a working mom. Like, sometimes I have to come home and pull up my laptop and finish a project. Like, I might have to leave work to pick you up from daycare, but I'm not done working. So that means your schedule gets pushed back and dinner is takeout and no one exercised and like, but you're still supposed to look like you have it all settled.
Who cares? I think that pressure is really the problem because it's not realistic. I don't feel like I give 100% at anything anymore.
Yeah.
I think I feel this.
Should we have to?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think the pressure is the problem. The pressure to feel like we have to look that way because it's not realistic. It's not possible. No one can do it. I think I have felt it more as in my work life than in my parenting life, in the fact that I don't feel like I performed the ability that I'm happy. I don't think I'm doing as good as I'd like to or I want to. And I'm constantly dealing with that frustration because I'm really passionate about my work. And I really, you know, I don't have a job that I do just to make money. I love what I do. And I definitely feel, especially because the switch this year to being at an elementary school, it's a completely different role. My job is very different. This learning curve is so hard because I can't go home and give it 100%. Like, I can't go and work all night long too. I have responsibilities. And when I was new in my career, I could, and I did. And I was okay with it. I didn't mind. Yeah. I loved it. And I would stay late every day. And now I just can't do that.
Right. And I give you so much credit for realizing that when you get home, it's okay to not do that. I think that's very hard for people. And, you know, I think it's very hard for people. I've said to people, go, well, why don't you have your work emails go to your phone? And I go, because I don't want them to go to my phone. When I come home, I want to be home and I don't want to be on the phone dealing with some email that's come through that I can't even address until the morning anyway. So why have that? You know, I can always get work emails. I can remote in and I can get them if I want to, but why put that stress on myself and that guilt on myself? I guess my question would be is, who does she feel like, who is the outside world? Is that like to anonymous people or is that to like our friends and our family? Because I do think they're very different and what that expectation is. And I think that expectation is different for on two different levels. And it's hard to address that.
I mean, I'm not going to speak for her, but for me, if I were answering that question, I would say it goes back to that social media discussion we had where I see so many parents, moms, right? This is exactly what we talked about before. It's like they have full-time jobs and their kids' clothes always match and they also work out and they look beautiful and somehow they find time to get their eyebrows waxed. I don't know when the fuck they do that because can't find the time for that. And they have it all so put together. Oh, and they also scheduled family photos and their children smiled during the family photo. Like, I can't do any of that. And you know, on top of that, like, we are scrambling. We're always just scrambling. We're always 2 hours late to wherever we need to be. We're always, like, eating, you know, muffs in the car because there was no meal. Like, so I guess, I don't know. When you see other people putting it together, you're like, what am I doing wrong?
I don't follow those people on social media. Like, I make it a point, though. Like, I don't follow people who put up that persona because it's unhealthy to be surrounded by that. Yeah. It does nothing but make you feel bad about yourself. And so I surround myself with both social media and friends who keep it real, like all of me do.
Yeah. You guys, I was a stay-at-home parent for 2 years. I did none of that. I was not put together. I still wound up picking up my son in a messy hairdo. Sometimes I forgot that he got out early. Like, I was a stay-at-home parent, you guys. I should have had it more together. And
I find my days at home, no, they're so rewarding and I wouldn't give them up, but I find them more difficult.
Yeah.
Here's the thing
about being a stay-at-home parent. You think it's going to be this easy, chill, relaxing time. I can get things done. And then you become one and you're like, holy shit, where did the time go? Because I got nothing done. Or so it feels like. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth behind stay-at-home parents. I feel like people fantasize or like have these like ideas of what it's like, but the reality of it is a job. So to all the stay-at-home parents out there, keep going.
Kudos.
keep it on.
So I guess, like, I wanted to say, I wrote this, like, on my notes. I never thought that I would want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I was always like, no. Even if I had all the money in the world, I would you know, volunteer 4 days a week, or I would work part time, or I would like greet people at Walmart. I don't care, but I'm not staying home with children 5 days, like 7 days a week, but like full time, you know. And then I left my job and I'm home with my kids. And if I'm being really honest, if I weren't to be currently building this business, I'm very happy right now to be at home with my kids and to just be enjoying that time. I think I'm stressed and I'm constantly behind because I am trying to also build a business. But in terms of like my emotional satisfaction right now, it's at its like all time high. However, I say that knowing that a lot of my like work frustrations since I've become a mom have been maybe it's the field I'm in, but because I've been in nonprofit, we do a lot of this conversation where we're like, oh, we're so family friendly. We're a nonprofit. We care about people, but we're not really family friendly because we expect you to like put in overtime, be available to donors whenever the heck they want to call you or text you or email you, work for very little money, have very little benefits or perks or paid time off or all of that kind of stuff. So it's always been since having kids, it's been a struggle. Or like in order to make any money, be super far into the city. No, it's not family friendly because I don't get to see my kids and I can't leave to go to her, you know, dance recital in the middle of the afternoon or her graduation ceremony or any of those kinds of things. So I feel like now that I don't have those pressures, I feel incredibly calm and happy and like really enjoying being a mom.
Yeah. I have the opposite reaction.
Which is funny because knowing you two both, I would have expected what you both expected. I would have expected Megan to have a harder time and Venus to love it.
Totally. Yeah, I agree.
I did not. And I think for me, it was more of me not feeling independent. In terms of, I mean, I've always been a very independent person. I've always, you know, taking the helm of things. I loved being in leadership roles. I loved being in an environment where I pushed myself and I was paying for things myself, getting money and doing these things. And then to have to be completely dependent, especially financially, on my husband was mm-hmm. really hard on me. And I remember telling John, like, it sucks feeling like I was getting an allowance or mm-hmm. and going through those motions, especially feeling like, especially when we're in an age of like, women empowerment and feeling like, am I feeling I'm not feeling empowered as a woman, but it's wrong. I shouldn't have felt that way. You know what I mean? Like being a stay-at-home parent, being a stay-at-home mom, doing those things, you should still feel empowered. You shouldn't feel like you're not at a level of other people who are in the work field and getting those successes in the work field. But I, during that time, my mentality was like, I'm so dependent on someone and I'm not doing anything. And I got really slightly depressed about it. And I think that's why I had to go out and get an actual job, was to get my mindset out of that, because I couldn't do the side hustle. It wasn't working for me. And I think that's why I've been feeling those feelings.
Gina, do you think that was because the way that you and John were communicating things to each other? Or do you think that's something you were putting on yourself?
Totally what I was putting on myself. Mm-hmm. And John was completely supportive. And it's interesting because I read this article back. It was written in like 2015 about this mom and like how they took a poll and all these women said that they would be stay-at-home moms. But it wasn't that they wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. It was that society doesn't really allow you to be a working mom. Like the maternity leave that we have here in the United States, just
daycare prices,
everything yeah. in general, doesn't allow you to be a financially stable working mom. You know, it'd be a great world if, yeah, I could 50-50 financially provide with my husband, do all the 50-50 work, but that's not the case. That's not how the world works. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself, I think. And I think my idea of how I saw myself really took a deeper impression on me. And that's why I was so slightly depressed. And I stayed away from being a stay-at-home mom, because not only was I a stay-at-home parent, but I also got pregnant very early on. And I wasn't able to go into a career. I wasn't able to have that time after college to try and figure out, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, you have your career that you're passionate about. I can now. I have the capability now to rethink that, but I wasn't able to before really think about, well, this mm-hmm. is what I'm passionate about. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that also took a toll on me when I was a stay-at-home parent, because it was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, how did I end up here? Being someone who's so heavily involved in school and always like in ASB, I did theater, I did this, mm-hmm. I did that. And even in college, I did Camp Titan and I did leadership.
Sing me that Camp Titan song.
I don't even remember
it. There's a lot of them, Megan. I know.
A lot of it. But yeah, I know. Being in a lot of those things and being heavily involved with things, and then like looking at my life and being like, I'm a stay-at-home parent and that's what I'm doing. Like, it's just not seeing.
Yeah, you didn't feel like.
You didn't feel like yourself is the thing.
I didn't. Yeah. I completely did not feel like myself.
And so it's really interesting. So I almost feel like to be honest, I don't think I could handle being a stay-at-home mom full time. But regardless of that, I never even had the opportunity to make that decision, because working for my family business, mm-hmm. I was being pressured to come back to work at like, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, when mm-hmm. I'm able to come back, yeah. because it is a small business. And when one person's out, you really feel it. And I felt bad because it's my family business. And I know that I was so, you know, needed.
Heavily involved. Yeah.
And it was hard. And so like thinking about future wise, like another kid and trying to figure out how are we going to do that? And what's the best way that I can go in knowing that I'm not going to affect the business and other people's day to day is like terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, which is exactly what Gina was mentioning in that article, which is like, our structure is not really set up for women mm-hmm. to leave their jobs, like maternity leave, temp work, all the whole entire thing, paid leave yep. is really screwed up. And I'm going to just take a second and read this clip from, or this paragraph from that article. It says, this is a Time article, and I'm going to try to get the person's name correctly, Darlene Kuna. And she's a stay-at-home mom. So it's written, and she's someone who left her career to be a stay-at-home mom. And it says, 15 years ago, we found ourselves putting in huge amounts of effort to work outside the home, and we got very little reward in return. We learned that, yes, we can venture outside of this societal box of motherhood and homemaker, but our culture does not invite it, does not make it easy for us, and does not make it worth our very valuable time and effort. So we stay home, not necessarily because we want to stay home, but because we would rather do this than all the groundwork it takes to do that. Only to be told over and over again, we're still not good enough.
Preach.
Preach, Darlene Kuna.
From 2015, and we're what, 4 years later, and still,
yeah,
still the same.
Almost
still the same.
So
nothing's changed.
I feel like this is kind of similar. Back when we were first starting to talk about doing our podcast, I had asked some of my Fit for Mom community, what would you want to hear about? What would you want to listen to? What are your topics? And someone wrote, and I think a couple of us really connected with this, and it was the dealing with coworkers and the transition from parent to coworker. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. How do you explain to somebody who doesn't have a kid, or maybe has a kid but hasn't been in that young kid phase for a long period of time, how do you deal with somebody like that when you've started your day 5 hours earlier and mm-hmm. it was a shitty morning because they freaking cried because they didn't get the right plate or cup they wanted and then couldn't bring it in the car? You know, how do you come into work as you as a person versus dealing with that and bringing that into your work day?
And I thought, my God.
Great.
So,
topic.
It's such a great topic. I'm going to tell a story because I'm having flashbacks from when I worked at. When I first moved from California, I got a job at the American Lung Association. So, I mean, I've been a nonprofit my whole life. Like, they're all different and they're all similar at the same time. They all say the same thing I said before. We're family friendly. Yeah. Like, we totally get it. And then I got hired and I moved across country and I took, you know, my first day at this job, Penelope's not even, she's 6 months. And I'm like, you know, I told them when I met with them, I'm a new mom, I'm nursing a baby, I would need a space to be able to pump my milk. And they were like, yeah, we'll figure something out, come by. And I get there and it's day one and they have no options and there's nowhere for me to do it. I'm in a cubicle, there's four offices, they're all just like director offices. And they were like, well, can you just use the bathroom? By the way, we went into
the suite. Oh, hell no.
So, yeah. So the bathroom was shared with like 20 different like offices. Oh. So
this is like this a common is not bathroom. Only illegal, but also legal, unsanitary.
California illegal. I don't know about Massachusetts.
No, it's illegal in Massachusetts too. Okay. And then, so like, I'm like, all right, I'll use the bathroom. But I go into the bathroom and there's no outlets in this room. So I'm hand pumping my milk out of in this bathroom. And then I came back and I mean, they were like, oh, that took a really long time. And if I had an office where the door closed, I could continue to work on my laptop while I'm doing it, but I don't. So I have to be in a bathroom while people are pooping around me. Like,
I would have gone into my boss's office, plugged in my pump, and stared him in the eye.
So my boss was a female who didn't have children, could not be more unsympathetic, and was like, later on, she got the business because I told HR, and HR was like, you need to let her use your office. So she came to me the next day. And then she said something like, well, you can use my office. I'm like, great. So let me come to my boss who I don't know and say every 2 hours, like, hey, I need you to vacate so that I can use your office. Not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's so uncomfortable and so weird. And then to top it all off, I was the only person in there with, like, kids, really. There was one dad, but, I mean, no offense. He was a dad. He'd never pumped and done all that stuff at work. And his kids were like 13. So it was, like, so far long gone. And this young gun, like, 26-year-old kid or something like that, saw my lunchbox in the fridge. Oh, I said something like, oh, I forgot my milk. And I went to go grab my lunchbox, like, full of milk for Penelope. He was like, what do you mean your milk? You bring in milk? And I was like, no, like, I pumped that. It's milk for my daughter. And he screamed so loud.
What?
He was literally like, ew!
Oh my God!
That's disgusting!
So livid by all of this information you're sharing with me.
I know. And he couldn't handle it. He was like, that didn't afraid
was he a child?
My lunch?
Was he a child?
Oh my God. He was like 26
no.
or 27.
I know.
I mean, he's acting a young, like a child.
Yeah.
Immature child. Mm-hmm. And I also think he's somebody who like maybe didn't want children, so it never had like crossed mm-hmm. his mind, maybe. I don't know. But like it was mortifying. I was so embarrassed. I think I stopped nursing Penelope really much earlier than I wanted to because I couldn't continue to pump at work. Like
I was just gonna say, Megan, yeah. that this is a big reason why the breastfeeding rates are so low in the US. One, because we don't have good maternal time off. We do not have mm-hmm. a policy in place. And two, because workplaces can't be supportive. When people are choosing yeah. not to breastfeed, that's one thing. But when people are trying totally. To and they're yeah. put in a position totally. Like this, and it's already hard enough, but if your yeah. workplace is now working against you, oh, I'm such a breastfeeding advocate, and I'm just really mad right now.
Liz, right? You guys could see Liz's reaction this whole entire time.
I'm surprised you didn't just like sit down in your cubicle and just do it there.
Yes, like, Megan, you're the kind of person who's okay with like yeah. making a bold statement. So I am surprised.
I know.
Oh, go on, Megan.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, you know what? I think that's my point, is that I am the type of person to be mm-hmm. like, this is wrong. And it was hard for me to do that. Like, it was hard for me to go to HR and say, this is kind of mm-hmm. wrong. So imagine when for somebody who is not as like loud and aggressive and outspoken uh-huh. and not as uh-huh. afraid as I am, totally. Like they, I feel like they would never do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's that hard for somebody who gives no shits about other people.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. How have I never heard that story before?
Yeah, I
feel like that was the first time I've ever heard that.
I don't know,
because we clearly Liz's first time because she's having a heart attack over there.
I am.
And yeah, I mean, there are so many breastfeeding stories around that first few weeks of working there that I was like really upset by.
Leaving your baby is hard enough as is when you're a first time mom and going back into the work. Well, even if you're not a first time mom, but leaving your child behind and going back to work is already hard enough as is. Emotionally, and to add on
stress
of that, and like breastfeeding, pumping is hard, you guys. It's different than actually breastfeeding,
guys. I'm still pumping
is hard. It sucks your nipple differently. It's a very different arousal for your breast, so it's harder. Your breasts have to get used to the pump.
It sucks literally and figuratively.
I remember one time I had worked so hard and it spilled everywhere.
And I just kind of stared at it.
I did. I kind of just stared at it and I was just like, I worked so hard. Mm-hmm. And I feel like workplaces though too should have extra things in there for women and feminine stuff, because I would forget bags sometimes and be like, well, where the fuck am I gonna put this? And I had to walk to CVS and go get like a bag and like put things in it.
At my first nonprofit, when I first had Penelope in California, it was like a family, Wicked Family organization. And so many women were nursing at the same time. We would all have signs on our door that were like, nursing, breastfeeding, pumping. Like people would just draw cows and put them on their doors. And everyone would just text everyone and be like, I forgot a bag. I'm in my office. Can someone slip a bag under the door? Like, That was like the best experience. But they're not all.
But
like
how
that.
Hard that you left from that to go to such an unsupportive workplace. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's really true.
I feel very lucky that I've always worked with places that it was all pretty much moms, or they've been moms. And so they understand. My boss, when I worked in radiology, was probably the best manager I think I'd ever had, because she was just so understanding about it. I would like text her and be like, Hayden just threw up, and she without question would be like, you gotta go pick him up from daycare. And it was so nice having someone who understood that and not feeling like oh God, oh my God.
How do I say?
What am I going to do? Because it's not, I mean, I tried, you know, you try your hardest as a parent to get coverage for that. But when your kid throws up, there's nothing. You can't do anything about it. You got to go. Especially right now, like, I don't know what I would do because I really don't have family that lives down here. Yeah, and I'd be like, well, before I could call my mom and dad and be like, hey, my dad can go pick up Hayden. Tilden's sick. And now it's like, I have to, like, figure it out. And luckily, Hayden's kind of old enough now where he can, if he's sick, he can, like, if John's sleeping, Hayden can sleep next to him. Like, I'm not worried. But if it was Millie, like, I'd have to call out from work and be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's so stressful. I remember that. Those are the kinds of things that I think have been hardest. Like, all of the changes that, like, you have to sacrifice your work, even when you don't want to. Obviously, your child is your priority. And, you know, I chose to work part-time, but this whole year has been a real struggle because I have had to give up on so many opportunities in my work that I think I'm not resentful for it. That's not the right word because it's not as extreme as that. But it's in that field of, like, you know, I made this choice, but I still hate that I had to make this choice.
Yeah.
I want my baby. He is my first priority. But also, like, I am heavily involved in a lot of leadership for counseling at the state level. And I've had to give up a lot of opportunities to that I don't want to, but I just
didn't
want
to give up.
Yeah. And I hate that. You know, I went to a conference recently for school counselors in California and I was like, oh, like I wanted to speak at this conference or I wanted to do this, but like I couldn't. And I, you know, one day I'll be able to do it again, but
yeah,
it's frustrating being like, well, I chose to do this, but I also don't, I wish I didn't have to make this choice. I didn't like being in that position.
It's a bit of the mom guilt, but instead of like mom guilt for not paying attention to your kid, it's mom guilt for not getting your work done the way you want it to be. No matter where you go, there's
guilt. And I kind of hate when we always like compare when like famous moms like Beyonce and Serena Williams and people are like, other people will say things or there'll be memes on social media where it's like, Beyonce has just as many hours in a day as you do. It's like, well, yeah, before the baby.
She pays a lot of money for people.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about daycare prices because that's
right. Like, daycare is so expensive, and I don't at all mean that it's not value. Like, those people work really hard to keep my kid healthy and safe and loved, and also teaching her things. So it's not that they don't deserve the amount of money we have to pay. It's just that, like, I don't make enough to pay you. You know, like Liz, when you said the conference, it sparked something. I had to pitch, this big conference was accepting speakers and I pitched a concept and they took it. And I sort of pitched it just because like I wanted the practice of pitching a concept. I never thought they'd accept it, but then they accepted it and it was in Nashville. And I was like, oh my God, I was invited to go speak in Nashville. That's awesome. I can't afford that. I can't afford the night sitters. I can't even, and I have really supportive family and whatever, but it's like, you can't ask a million, hey, can you guys watch my kids for 4 days, 4 nights, get them to school, pick them up. Like, oh, if they're sick, like be available, all that kind of stuff. It's impossible. Beyonce can afford that shit.
Totally.
It was really interesting. I kind of have started to realize where people or some of these celebrities start to live in LA because of the fires recently and seeing them on Instagram and talking about how school was closed. And I go, oh, it makes a lot of sense now. I get it. You live there. You have those schools, those private schools, those private daycares. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And I think people forget. I mean, money talks, right? And it's not that
money can solve some problems.
Right. I mean, it's not that money can solve the problem in the end, but it sure can help get things done.
And you know what? I'm sure it's still hard to be a mom if you're Beyonce, absolutely. But you have different problems.
Yeah. More money, more problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I became a stay-at-home parent first off was because of the daycare. I mean, it wasn't reasonable for me to continue working, making the amount of money and literally just working to put her in daycare at such a young age. And I love early childhood education. I think it's completely valid. I completely think it's very valuable and important to have kids at an early age go in a daycare setting so that they learn what school is going to be like, and that transition to kindergarten is going to be so much easier for them. They're going to learn a lot of social skills, mm-hmm. but the prices are, it was hard with the job that I was having. So we were trying to save up money for a home, and it just was more reasonable for me to become a stay-at-home parent. And then that's where all my sadness and self-doubt and more of like my own self-hatred started coming out. And then I had to go back into the workforce, which I'm so grateful that I got the job I have now. And it's kind of a good in-between because I don't have Fridays. I don't work Fridays. Mm-hmm. And it's great because you guys, when your kids get into school, Fridays are minimum days. All of them. All of them in my district are
not. Your district is a small little sample size.
Your district is weird.
My district,
they go to school like the way they do in China, like year round and random breaks.
No, but in Peyton's old school, it was the first Friday of every month was half day.
We have a minimum day at my school on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in my district has either a late start or a minimum day.
Okay, ours is late start.
That's gonna vary everywhere.
Ours is
unheard of. Listen, you guys, Massachusetts is literally like the oldest state in the whatever, and we don't do that kind of shit.
But Megan, you know why?
Stuff like that.
Megan, you want to know why? It's because you fund education much better than we do in California. Ours is a funding reason.
But also because they have snow and they have to make up for snow days, and we don't have those things out here.
Massachusetts pays for education at the one of the top of the rates, and we're at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's true.
So go Massachusetts.
Yeah, go Massachusetts.
We're doing something right.
Making it easier for parents with their work schedules. Because I'm telling you, minimum days, I would stress. If totally. I had to work Fridays, I'd be like, who's going to pick up my kid?
I'm already worried about next
15.
I'm already worried about next year when Elijah goes into kindergarten. And I think we can let him in. I think the gate opens at 8:30, and then I'm lucky here. His gate opens at 8:30 with school starting at 9, and then school ends at 2. So that's almost a full day. And like, if we didn't switch to our current work situation now with Jeremy's schedule, I really don't. We would be paying for before and after school care, which at mm-hmm. that point is almost like, why are we in public school? Because you're going to pay a lot of money for before and after care that we don't really shouldn't have to be worrying about. But I think we'll be able to figure it out. But it's just, it's crazy that this now we're going into this, like, for 3 hours of our time, we're going to be paying for 10 hours.
The point is that society is really not built the way it is structured now
for
families to have two working parents. We have expectations and things that run that just, you know, like you should, if you worked from home, you'd be able to get your child to school and pick them up. But, you know, a lot of people can't afford to do it. Like, it's just like we have on either side, society isn't working. There is a deeply rooted problem for both stay-at-home moms and working moms. Mm-hmm.
Preach. It's true. I felt it all. I feel it all.
All right, so I think we're going to take a break and let's listen to a quick commercial, and we will be back shortly.
Hi, this is Megan,
Gina,
and Alex
from the For Mom Friends podcast. Have you heard of this app called Marco Polo? It's what we use to connect with each other every day. If you haven't tried it, we recommend the download. It's like a video walkie-talkie. We're able to talk and listen to each other on our own schedules, and we love it. Even being miles apart, we've never felt closer, thanks to Marco Polo.
Welcome back. So if you've been listening, you know that we've been talking about our experiences within our careers since becoming mothers. And we thought we would finish this episode with some of our tips on how to kind of make that big adjustment from being a career-focused woman to a mom who then has to kind of manage it all. Alex, why don't you start with your pro tip?
So my tip is to get organized. If you weren't organized before you had kids, you better figure it out now. I've always been a pretty organized person. But if you are not organized, you are just going to drive yourself insane. I make sure every week to figure out my meals, not necessarily meal prep, but I have all the recipes that I want to use. I have all the things, all the ingredients I know that I'm going to need. It's all set and ready to go. So when I get home from work, I can just start cooking and be done with it. If you have time to meal prep, it's absolutely worth it. Just not always available to do that on the weekends, but it definitely does help. And to keep that calendar organized, and to, for me, that meant for a really long time using a physical calendar that I'd carry around with me, because the electronic thing really screwed me up and I'd forget about stuff, but it would remind me the day before or even the morning of. So having that physical calendar was extremely helpful. So figure out what you need to do to figure out how to get organized.
Oh, that's a really good tip. And that is personally something I struggle with to this day. Even I've been a mom for 4 years now, and I really see the difference in the success of a day if I'm organized and planned ahead of time versus if I'm running around behind or forgetting where I need to be and what I need to do. So I totally agree. That's a good one. Gina, what about you? What is your pro tip?
All right. So my pro tip is learn to advocate for yourself, which is ironic because it's something I struggle with till this day. I've definitely gotten a lot better at it, but I am a people pleaser. I am a yes person. I love taking on projects and responsibilities and bringing that kind of go-to person, that clutch person, you know? But I definitely have had to learn, especially now becoming a mom, to stand up for myself a little bit more. Especially in the workforce, in the work field of, and the idea of taking on, like I said, extra responsibilities or extra projects, I think it's important to learn to say no, to learn kind of that balancing act of your responsibilities at work, but also your responsibilities at home. And if it doesn't fill your bucket, say no. It's okay. You know, someone else can take on another project. Someone else can take on an additional responsibility. It is not up to you to fix the world. Obviously, you could tell that's something I tell myself consistently. It's great to help out, and everybody loves a team player, but you need to learn how to say no with certain things or in certain situations. But it doesn't just stop at work with asking maybe your boss for flexible hours, or like we said before with Megan, saying, hey, I need to use your office to do my pumping because there's no other place for it. But it also extends to your home life too, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent. Obviously, I've been saying this almost this whole time, but I have been one, and that was hard too, especially with feeling like I had to do a lot of the housework and that it wasn't fair for me to ask for help from my husband because he was out working and doing such hard work trying to provide financially for our family, which it's not like I didn't appreciate that. I completely did. He did work so hard, but I did find myself not speaking up when I was tired. You are at home taking care of kids, and it is a job. So definitely speaking up for yourself in those situations and saying, hey, I'm tired. I appreciate you. I don't take for granted anything you're doing for us, but I'm tired and I need help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, especially in a marriage, especially in a family. So speak up for yourself because you do deserve it. You do a lot more than you think you do, and you don't have to take control or take on every responsibility to fix every little thing. You are a person, a human, just like everybody else. So learn to advocate for yourself. It'll make a much happier you and a much happier life.
Gina, yes, that is such a good one. We all have to learn how to advocate for ourselves a little bit better. Liz, what's yours?
So I think it's really important to find something that's just yours. Alex teaches a workout class and does social events with those ladies, and Gina has gotten really into her rock climbing. I think finding something that lets you be you without also being a mom and a wife at the same time can be enough of a break to keep you from a breakdown. I'm still trying to work and figure out what my thing is. But I think it's important for your mental and your emotional health to still be a woman and not just a mom.
All right, mamas, those are all really, really great tips. I think sometimes I need to refocus and do all of those things, even 4 years in. So my advice is to, I think, recognize that once you have children, I don't know a better way to say this, but I think your bullshit meter changes. So I feel like you no longer have room for some of the barriers or struggle points that you might have dealt with before, whether it's like petty office politics or long commutes or really long work days, nasty bosses, whatever it was. Like, if you can recognize your struggle points during your pregnancy or your maternity leave and understand that if they were challenging before you had a baby, they are only going to be more challenging after. So sort of, I think people, women, we need to figure out what they are worth, you know, if they are worth our time and our energy, and evaluate our working needs and our home needs, and to really figure out and hone in, like, is this job, career, location, pay, boss, office experience, culture, is this going to work with a new mentality that I'm likely going to have now that I have a life to care for and bigger responsibilities? And then kind of figure out, like, if you're not going to be happy, or if you aren't happy once you return from your maternity leave, like, move. You're not a tree. That's my advice. I think that's all the time we have for today. So we know, we always want to leave you with this. We know that being a parent is hard and it takes a village, and we're here with you and for you. So thank you for being a part of our Mom Friends.